T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You ready to go? Big game tonight. Is Giannis playing tonight for Milwaukee?
He is officially questionable, so we'll find out probably around 5:30 when Coach Bud talks.
Who do you think is the face of the NBA right now?
The face of the NBA. That's a really good question.
I believe it's Steph Curry now, Chris. I think
you can make a good argument for Steph Curry. Really good argument.
We're biased here because most people in Cleveland hate Steph Curry. But in the rest of the country, people love him.
Yes. He's beloved in China. He's beloved by kids.
Yes.
Specifically. Women and men both really, really like him. Young girls, young boys both really, really like him. He's got a brand. He's got a logo that's really cool that I think a lot of young kids have jumped on board with. He's got his own signature shoe, so I think that helps him. He plays on the best team in the NBA, the most exciting team in the NBA. And I think he's the kind of guy that it's more likely for kids growing up to try and be Steph Curry, even though that's probably very, very difficult because he's the greatest shooter of all time. But it's easier for them to say, I can be the next Steph Curry, as opposed to I can be the next Giannis or LeBron, where I win the genetic lottery and I win.
Do you think the fact that Giannis is not American or that he wasn't a star when he first came into the league affects his, his Q rating, if you will, in the NBA?
Of course. Absolutely. I don't think he's as relatable because of that. And I think the other thing that probably affects him is that he plays in Milwaukee for the Bucks. That's okay. That doesn't take anything away from him. That doesn't mean that he's probably not going to be the MVP this year and he's not a great player. I just think when you're talking about that specific conversation, sometimes you do kind of have to split hairs. And I think playing in Milwaukee and being somebody from overseas as opposed to from America, I absolutely think those things play into it.
See, Bull, you talked about that. You mentioned the college thing, too.
Yeah.
I argued this with Zion Williamson when he got hurt the first time. And, I think it was DeMarcus Cousins said something like, well, you're going to find guys going to the G League. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, I get it. Like, they got to protect they got to look ahead, look for their future, whatever. But there is no better plat. We're on the brink of March Madness. There's no better platform, right, Chris? Than if you're going to a big time college like Duke or wherever, there's no better platform for your brand, right?
I agree with that completely. And I think the amazing thing with Zion is that he's at a school that for the most part people around the country hate or love to hate. It's Duke, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
That's the team that you root against. You're tired of the elite being the elite. And all of a sudden, you have this guy, Zion, who's at Duke, a hated program, and he's one of the most popular basketball players in the country because of how he plays, because of how marketable he is, because of the way that he carries himself. And I think there is a segment of fans out there, college basketball fans, NBA fans, that actually are excited about this decision that Zion made and maybe even respect him more that he was willing to do this. And maybe you look at him and say, well, it's not only about the fame. It's not only about the money. It's not only about taking the next step to the NBA. It's about the other things that matter to him, too.
Agreed.
I think that makes him more likable, actually.
No doubt. I'm a Duke hater. I hate Coach K. I always root against Duke. And I am rooting, Chris, for Duke to win the championship because I love Zion. You know what I like about him? And maybe this will get knocked out of him in the NBA. I hope not.
Yeah.
Every time I watch this guy play, he doesn't showboat. He doesn't show up the other team. When he blocks a shot, he's not waving his finger or dancing around. He just plays with a lot of enthusiasm. He's great.
He loves his teammates.
He loves he seems like such a, I mean, I don't know him personally, obviously, but he seems like the most likable guy in the world.
And he seems to be having fun playing basketball.
Right. There's so many guys miserable right now.
Right. And yeah. If we bring this conversation full circle, that's something that I think people like about Steph, is that you see the joy that he plays.
It's true.
With,
yeah.
And you're like, you know what? Basketball is supposed to be a game. It's supposed to be fun. Yes, it's high-level competition. Yes, there's a lot of pressure. Yes, there's a lot of stress. All of those things are involved. But it's supposed to be fun. It's a game. And you see the number one overall pick in Zion Williamson. And, you know, he could act like some of these other number one picks from the past, where it doesn't matter all that much, where winning doesn't matter all that much at the college level, where going all out doesn't happen on every single play because you're protecting other things, mainly your future. But you've got this number one overall pick that's having fun, and he's playing with the intensity of Draymond Green. And you just don't see that usually from a clear-cut number one pick.
Talking to Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, as we shift to the Cavs now, and look, I mean, they're winning games, and I know the people that are in the tank for Zion, that sort of category, they're not happy with this. But look, you're seeing them win some games, but more importantly, you're seeing some of these young guys, specifically Colin Sexton, really start to just grow up right before our eyes. You see him every night, and I saw a tweet that you made during the game about how his shot just looks totally different.
Yeah.
Talk about his development and just how different he looks from the beginning of the season.
Well, it's night and day, Chico. It really is. And I think part of it has to do with the game has slowed down for Colin, and he would admit that. At the beginning of the season, everything was moving so fast. He had never really broken down film in the way that you had to break down film in the NBA, so he couldn't pinpoint certain things that were happening on the court, and he was trying to process everything as it was going. And so many coaches in the past have said the same thing, but you can't think and play at the same time. You just have to go out there and play. And now Colin is able, for the most part, to go out there and play because he's seen it more. He's seen different coverages. He understands what he's supposed to do in a pick-and-roll situation. He understands what his team needs from him on a nightly basis. He understands what's great for Colin Sexton may not be great for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I think that's part of it. The other big part of it is he is the hardest worker on the team. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody in the organization recently just about stories of Colin's work ethic. And when he got his butt kicked by Luka Doncic the first time, when Luka put up 35 here at the Q, Colin went to the practice facility that night. That night, after a game, and he put up 750 shots. And the Cavs have this interesting technology at Cleveland Clinic Courts where it monitors how many shots get taken throughout the course of a day, throughout the course of a week, and it breaks it down by each guy and how many they take. And another week, 9,000 shots were taken inside Cleveland Clinic Courts. Colin Sexton took 3,000 of them. So
wow.
That's just how he's wired. Like, he doesn't like to do anything else but play basketball. Like, they're trying to get him to have a hobby so that he can like, sit back, unwind, reprogram when he has to. But he just eats, breathes, sleeps basketball, and he's constantly working. And I think you're seeing the fruits of that here at the end of the season.
Chris, real quick on the defensive side of things, because, remember in the early part of the season, you had vets complaining about, well, he doesn't play team defense, doesn't communicate. What about from that end of the floor? Is that improved as well?
I don't think so, honestly. I think one of the things that has helped him a little bit is that the Cavs are taking him off of, like, the star point guard on the other team. So tonight he's probably not going to be matched up with Eric Bledsoe all that much or as much as maybe he would have been early on in the season. I think part of that has to do with the fact that they added Brandon Knight and they like Brandon in that particular role. I think the other thing is they don't think that's putting Colin in a position to succeed. Like, he's not tough enough. He's not physical enough, and that's okay. He's 20 years old. His body is still developing. He's getting hit in picks in a way that he's never been hit before. So physically, it's very, very difficult for him to deal with these 5, 6, 7-year pro point guards because physically and from a maturation level, they're all at a different place than Colin is. So, no, that hasn't really gotten all that much better. He's still a liability. There's still defensive breakdowns. He still doesn't communicate as much as he needs to on the court because by nature he's a bit of a quiet guy. Larry Drew actually compared him to Jeff Teague, who's also very, very quiet. So maybe that's something that Colin is going to get as he gets more comfortable, or maybe it's something that the Cavs are just going to have to work around because that's just who he is.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. I mean, I think Colin Sexton's a good example for me and so many others who were so quick to say, this guy's a bench player, and everybody kind of wrote him off. I'm guilty of it. A lot of people are guilty of it. Now, I think part of it was the complaints from the other players
sure.
that came out early in the year, and we kind of all jumped on that. And obviously his advanced statistics, the analytics on him were bad. They're still not as great as the more traditional numbers, but better than they were earlier in the season. But like nowadays, we're so quick to decide what a player is and who he is so quickly, and that's unfair. We still don't know how good he is, but clearly he's bet a lot. We think of him a lot better now than we did early in the year.
And I think rightfully so, and I think he's earned that, and I think he deserves that, and I think it's a credit to him. I think it's a credit to Mikey Garrity, the player development guy who works with Colin every single game. I mean, it's 4:30 right now. Colin is probably going to get to the arena in about 10 minutes with player development coach Mike Garrity and shooting coach Andrew Olson, and they're probably going to go through their pregame workout. That's how early he gets there. That's how many shots he puts up before the game. That's how yeah. hard he works.
That's great.
Because he wants to be great. To your point, though, I mean, yeah, there were reasons to be critical of him at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
The frustration that the players felt, I mean, that's understandable. And I was talking to somebody from the front office yesterday about this. Like, Colin's probably more developed than they thought he would be at this time. Like, if, in an honest moment, there's no way they thought he was going to shoot this well from three-point range. There's no way that they felt like his shot would be as developed as it is already. They thought it would probably take maybe into next year to get to this particular level with his yeah. shot where it's that improved. But again, it's a credit to him because he just keeps coming.
This has turned out to be a pretty good rookie class, right, Chris?
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me? Marvin Bagley, while he had some issues on the defensive side of the floor, I was watching a little bit of that game last night against Brooklyn. Offensive-minded guy, can leap out of the building, really, really polished from that end. Luka is unbelievable. He's a star. There's no doubt about that. Ayton's had a great year. He'd be rookie of the year if not for Luka Doncic. Shea is coming on for Los Angeles. He's starting on a playoff caliber team. So, yeah, there's no doubt
DeAndre
about it.
DeAndre Ayton, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what Trae Young, too. Trae Young, reigning player of the month. And I think what yeah. it goes to show you is, like, perceptions of drafts, they change. They change constantly. You know, coming into this year, I don't think there were a lot of people inside the Cavs front office that were thrilled with the 2019 draft, but all of a sudden here comes Ja Morant, right? All of a sudden here comes some other guys that you just don't foresee,
right?
Because the only evaluation that you have for them when the year starts is what they did in high school and what they did at all these camps, and then you need time. You need time to pour through all this stuff and find out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and I think the same thing when it comes to rookies, like this class. It took time for some of these guys, but you're starting to see the potential, and I think that's the thing that matters the most.
Chris, we'll let you go with this. Percentage chance Larry Drew is back next season?
0.25.
Wow.
I mean, I'll give it that more than zero because I've been told that he's going to be in the conversation, and he is going to get consideration. But the vibe that I get is that he just doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. It's a tough situation. It really is. A rebuild is not for everybody. It's not for every player, and it's not for every coach. And for Larry Drew, somebody who's been through a lot throughout the course of his NBA career, both as a player and a coach, and 60 years old, I just don't think that he wants to be the head coach of a team that's rebuilding in the way that the Cavs are. And I think he's done a very, very good job, and I think he deserves consideration for the way that he's developed these guys and the way that these guys relate to him and respond to him. I just don't think he wants it.
Chris, good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.